Welcome to Sharing Plate, a podcast all about food and the role it plays in our sense of self, our sense of place, and of course, our sense of taste. I'm Laura Bishop, and I'll be hosting guests from around the world as they share their plates that connect them to home, wherever that may be, to their people, whoever they are, and to their own special memories. This is a foodie's journey that transcends generations and nations. So please, come sit with us as we serve up recipes and stories.
So it is finally cooking.
Mama, I think the rice is too low.
I forgot the salt.
Oh, I'm not good in the kitchen.
So my guest today is a very good friend of mine. Would you like to introduce yourself and tell us a bit about who you are?
My name is Saud Muhammad Jahlan.
My family originally from Yemen, but they moved to Saudi a long time ago, more than 60 years. I was born in Saudi. I was raised in Saudi. I never been to Yemen. I still have the Yemeni passport, the Yemeni nationality, because the rules in Saudi is if your parents doesn't have a Saudi nationality, you would never have the Saudi nationality, no matter how long you lived there. My father, myself, and my brothers, we all work for the Saudi royal family, but you never get residence. It's difficult to have it.
And so you ended up here. Why?
I used to work as a private assistant for one of the Saudi royal family. And we used to come to England. I think the first time I came to England was 2013. And we used to come to England every month, twice, three times. We'll come, we'll spend 2 days, we travel, and we come back, and so and so. Last time we came here, it was, I remember we came on the 1st of March, 2020. And the plan was, I think we're coming for 10 days or something like that. And we're going back to Paris. We came back here and the lockdown happened. We couldn't move nowhere. And during that duration, the man I used to work with, he was a great man, he passed away. I always get emotional when I speak about him, because, yeah. So he passed away when we were here. And by him passing away, I lost my residency in Saudi. So if I travel back to Saudi, they're going to send me to Yemen, which I never been to. And because I used to work with the royal family, a member of the royal family, like the people in Yemen think that the Saudi royal family is the reason behind the war in Yemen. From my passports, they would know I used to work for the Saudi royal family. And I'm afraid that they will take that as a hostile you came here after you work with them and they're the reason and I'll be punished for something. I had nothing to do with it.
So you had to claim asylum in the UK?
Yeah.
Because of that?
Who knew that I would cook for you, Lara?
Let's dive in and get your first dish. What's coming to the sharing plate?
Well, I choose this dish because I used to have it a lot when I was working.
For the prince?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a grilled fish.
We're just preparing the fish, salt and pepper.
With the prince, we always had a chef who's traveling with us. So we had a strict schedule and we'll eat the fish every 2 days.
What kind of fish?
We usually eat turbot. We used to have sea bass. We used to put only salt and pepper on it.
Did everyone on staff eat the fish every other day?
The rule with the prince, I remember, he always said this. He said, whatever I have, the people with me has to have the same thing. If my plate cost me £1,000, their plate should cost the same thing. Like, they have whatever I have. They sit wherever I sit. They treat it the same way I treat it.
That's wonderful.
He was a good man. And I really miss him.
Yeah, I know.
He was a great man.
Just gonna cut the asparagus.
I remember I did it once when I came here in the house. And I just, I don't know why, like my phone buzzed. And I thought automatically someone wants me to speak to the prince or someone need. I never did it again.
I'm already hungry. I don't know how much. This be enough.
So dish two.
Dish two we're gonna make. We didn't consider it as dish as much as we considered it essential in any Arabic table.
Okay.
It's rice. Any Saudi table, yeah. Anywhere you go, rice has to be there. It's like, for us, it's like salt for British or American.
Yeah.
Or, it has to be there on the table.
Even otherwise, it's not a meal.
Yeah, even if no one will eat it, you have to put rice there.
Just washing the rice. Don't ask me why, but my mom says you need to do it.
What would be the typical rice that would be served up on your table?
For us, it's rice, and you can put some bay leaves, some coriander for the taste. People depends on the way they make it. Every house, when you go there and eat the rice, it's, yes, it's rice, but the taste will always be different from a house to another.
So tell me about the rice from your house.
I come from a big family, and I think you know that.
I know, yeah.
We don't see eye to eye when it comes to food.
Really?
Yeah. So my mom will always try to make... There's some stuff, like, for example, the rice, she will always try... When I'm there, and my brother's there, and my sisters, and everyone, she will try to make it plain. Because if she did it any other way, someone would be like,
someone's going to complain.
Yeah, you're doing it because you love him more than you love me. So when it comes to rice, she will do it. She will do it like plain.
Can we boil some water?
Of course.
I need my phone. I need some professional advice now.
What is your favorite rice?
For me, I like the plain rice.
You like it plain?
Yeah, I like it plain.
With nothing in it?
Nothing. My brother used to have it with, he wants some, I don't know if you, I think you know it. You know melukhiya?
Melukhiya. What is that?
It's famous in Egypt. So the day my mom do it for my brother, she has to tell me before she do it by one day. I'm not in the house.
Oh, really? What, because you hate the smell?
I hate the smell. I can't stay in the house.
Wow.
I have to leave. كيف حالك ماما؟
طيب بس استني
شوية
ها؟
لا 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 ما في استني
شوية. Actually, one of the things that I love about, you know, the Middle Eastern culture is everyone sitting around and sharing food. Sharing is so important. You don't just get given your plate of food.
No.
You know, I love sitting on the floor, and, you know, quite often when I'm in Saudi, I'll eat in Saudi restaurants where we sit on the floor.
Sitting on the floor, it always has a different taste. It always has, I don't know, you feel bonding with everyone. Because when you sit, it's not like you have your chair. No, you have to sit and...
Get your
space. Yeah, you have to look to the next person to you, like the one who's next to you, and see if they are comfortable.
Yeah.
And they're sitting. And you have to move around until everyone is comfortable. And if you need something, you have to ask for it. And there's more interaction and sitting in the floor. And I think it's culture for us. We had a table. We never used it.
Do we have garlic?
Yes.
She told me to put a small piece of, like, some garlic with the oil.
Dish number three. Where are we going next?
As I said, we're going to go fully healthy today.
awfully healthy.
So we're going to make some sauce. The sauce we're going to make, it's simple tomato sauce. I have to peel the tomato, put it in a boiling water, take it out. That will make it easier to peel it.
The tomato's too hot.
Yep.
Put it in the blender with some ketchup, some salt. That's it.
Okay, tomato's ready. Oh, the rice.
Well, your mum taught me how to make something that you don't like, which I was absolutely devastated about.
My father loved it. That's what I told you. Like, we don't agree on the food we like. We don't agree.
Your poor mum is probably cooking 10 dishes when you're all at home together.
When she's in a good mood. When she's in a good mood, she would do it. Yeah.
The one that we made was tomatoes. Same way, blanched and peeled and then put in the blender. But there was chilli in it as well. And there was also the cheese or something?
White cheese. Yeah,
white cheese. That's right. Mm. It was delicious.
That's my father's favourite breakfast.
Is that?
Yeah, and my brother. He will have that.
It's really interesting, isn't it? Because I try and embrace food from every culture that I go to, but breakfast I really struggle with, because in the Middle East, what you eat for breakfast, I'm like, no, what, like chili for breakfast? You know, I'm cereal, toast, you know, kind of in the Western world, there's a lot of kind of sugar goes on in breakfast. I mean, you think about kids' cereals and it's like Cocoa Pops and cornflakes and stuff. Whereas you, what would you have for breakfast at home?
I was going to make some today, but I thought it would be too late to make it. I think I ordered it for you once when you were in Saudi, when you called me.
At the Yemeni?
Yeah.
What was it?
It's full. It's fava beans.
Yep.
We call it kushna. You cut the onion, put it in a pot until it's a little bit yellow, like yellowish. And then you put some chili with it, some tomato, until the tomato becomes soft. You mashed it together, and that's kushna. That's basically used in every food we make before.
So what's that? It's onion chili. Fried with chili and tomato.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then you just put the fava bean, stir it a little bit until it's cooked a little bit, and you just serve it. Full, the fava bean or full, it's very common in Arabic countries. Like in Egypt, in Lebanon, in Syria, in Palestine, in Saudi, in Emirates, in every country, they have their own way to make it. It's the same beans, but they have different ways on making it.
And so yours is the Saudi way or the Yemeni way?
Saudi and Yemeni way, it's similar. Yeah, very similar in food.
And so that's your breakfast go-to?
Yeah.
Even here?
Yeah.
I think I just need to get on board.
You like to have something light.
But also, there has to be some sweetness in it. Certainly can't do chili for breakfast. The first thing, no way.
No, most thing we use in the breakfast, like, for example, in Jeddah, if we are out with the family or with the friend and we need to eat breakfast, 90% of the time it will be liver.
Liver?
Yeah.
For breakfast?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, that just blows my mind. I mean, I hate liver.
Liver sandwiches.
I hate liver anyway. I can't do it. My mum is a massive fan of liver and bacon, and so was my grandma. It was a thing here. Obviously, I know you're never going to eat bacon, but it was a thing, and I'm like, I just can't get on board with liver. I know it's incredibly good for you because it's rich in iron.
No, when you cook it, it's really delicious. I don't eat it. I don't. That's the thing.
Okay.
My family loves it.
Okay, so we agree on that.
Yeah, on liver, nah, that's a big no. But I know everyone eat it. Like, my friends eat it, my family eat it, my father is a big fan of liver.
Yeah, no. I've tried it, and I tried it as a child, and I've tried it as an adult. It's a no from me.
You didn't like it?
No. I don't know what it is about the taste or the texture. I mean, I eat most things. There's very few things you'll put in front of me that I won't eat. And liver's one of those things. So dish number three was the sauce. That's the sauce that goes with everything.
The fish.
Yeah.
The rice.
And it's tomato paste. Or tomato ketchup.
A little bit of ketchup, just for the taste, and that's it.
Got it.
Today we're going healthy, yeah.
Simple, really simple.
For you, it's simple. You know my history with cooking.
Okay, so I'm glad that we've got to this
very
point.
This very advanced for me.
So when I first met you, Saud, it was safe to say that you could not cook, correct?
I didn't know how to boil an egg. I had to call my mum first time I had to boil an egg.
Exactly, because you'd had your mum your whole life, or you'd had the prince's chef for the rest of the life. So there'd never been a reason for you to learn how to cook, and suddenly you all of a sudden have to cook for yourself.
قرفه معاك حطه.
ايش يعني قرفه بالانجليزي؟ قرفه دي هاف سينمون.
حصلته جاهز يلا حطه.
اعتقد سينمون اسمها.
عندك سينمون؟
سينمون؟
Yeah. I'm proud of what I did now. I'm proud where I am now. Laura, I didn't know how to boil an egg.
I know.
Now I confidently can go into kitchen and make a full course meal. Like, I can do the whole thing. Even my mom was like, if I knew you would be like that, I would have shipped you to England a long time ago.
Has your mom taught you any of the recipes?
Yeah, she always.
Yeah.
She's the one who stays on the phone with me when I make it, no matter what I make. I have to call her. It's like an excuse for me to just
spend time with her on the phone.
Yeah. So I'll call her like, Mom, how can I boil an egg? And she would just look at me like, seriously?
Even though you now know how to do it, you still ring her to
the same food. Like, I'll make the same food every week, and I'll call her every time, and she will get frustrated now. But
do you speak to her every day?
Every day. Yeah.
Every day.
Every day.
يلا ما جا منك إلا الخسارة مع السلامة.
Bye.
Mother is gone. Ah, David. Should you do the...
Do you want David to do the fish?
Oh, please, David.
What am I doing?
Cook the fish. Okay. Sounds terrifying to me about
it. You sear it like the... Just to get the colour.
Okay.
And then the kitchen.
Why do you got
to do it? Because I don't trust myself with the fish.
Okay.
Like, I don't want no one to get poisoned, seriously. Because I don't want no one to sue me. I didn't have my paper yet, and that would look bad on my file.
So I want to touch slightly on your hopes for the future, Saud, and kind of what's coming, because, you know, you're in limbo at the moment. You claimed asylum, you're put in a hotel, then what?
The normal process, like, you know, you have to wait for your second interview.
So when you first claim asylum, you're given an initial interview, which is... You know, what does that involve? What's in the interview?
It was a brief interview. It didn't take more than 20 minutes, maybe half an hour. They just asked me, like, what's your name? And for me, my case is different because I came with my passport. They know why I was here. I didn't... Even the man who interviewed me in the second interview, he looked at my profile and he was like, you've been coming to UK since 2013. The war in Yemen started in 2015. Why didn't apply for an asylum? Why now? I didn't know about asylum. I never thought. I'm not saying this in a bad way, but not even in my worst nightmare.
Did you dream?
I dreamed I would
be in this situation. I know it's really hard. Moment. Do you want some water, John?
No, the thing is, I had a good life. People used to reach out to me to get help. And now I can't even help myself. I can't even help my family. I'm waiting for an answer. 2 years I have to see my family back home. Can't send them money. Can't send him nothing. I took care of my mom when she got divorced. I paid her rent. I gave her money. That's my duty. Since I was 22 years old. I've been there. I always been there. I always been for anyone who will come. People will call me. People will need help. I'll always help because that's how we were raised. And for the past 2 years, I'm just sitting like, even if I was a criminal and I did something and I went to the judge and the judge judged me, at least I would know how long I'm going to spend in prison. How long? Here, there is no time. And I'm not saying I'm better than anyone or I'm less than anyone. I've been waiting for 8 months now, or 9 months since I did my interview. It's just, there's nothing you can do about this, how long it will take. But I know there is a way for them to at least give you a time frame. Like, even a criminal would know how much he will spend to redeem his actions. He will know how much he's gonna stay in prison. I didn't do nothing wrong. I didn't plan this. I didn't. Everyone is coming here running from someone. They came and they seek asylum in your laws, in your security. At least be fair to them.
Sal, tell me about what you do with your time while you're waiting.
I used to study in the college. I finished the level 2 in bookkeeping. But because they moved me from the hotel I was in, and they moved me all the way to the beautiful city of Reading.
Which you love.
I'm in love with it. I'm not going to come back here no more. I'm done. But because they moved me, I couldn't enroll for the level 3. So I enroll and they say they're going to start next January. So I will have 8 months, I think, until then. So I started volunteering in this charity cafe in Reading. We offer free tea and coffee for and a warm place because it's inside a church. And it was very cold outside. So a lot of people will come just to have a warm coffee, a warm tea, and just chill there, spend time with their kids, spend time with their friend, have a conversation.
When you get your papers, what's the plan? What does your life here look like?
Oh, hopefully, first thing I'm going to do, I need to go see my mom.
Yeah, of course.
But in the future, hopefully I'll settle down. I'll find a good job. I will build my life. All my family, they're big. We're big on getting married. Everyone with their children, everyone has their own life. I'm coming late. It's okay. But hopefully, when I get my papers, I will be able to build that one.
So fast forwarding to when you have your travel document and you get a visa to go to Saudi, and that first moment where you walk through the door and see your mum, what does that look like?
I dream about it, to be honest. I think it would be very good to see them again. I don't think I even told you this, and you are a very good friend of mine. My father was diagnosed with Alzheimer and dementia. So now he lives with my older brother. And 2 days ago, my brother called me. My older brother never called me. The same way as my mom never called me. It's a cultural thing. We have to ask for the oldest.
So you call your mom and your older brother?
Yeah. So whenever my mom call me, I'll always be afraid. Something happened. She never called. I call. So when my brother called me, I was afraid because my father lives with him. He's taking care of him. And I answer him, is everything okay? And he said, no, My father was asking about you. My father, he has dementia. He has Alzheimer. He doesn't speak. So when I saw him, he didn't say nothing. He would just sit there, look at me. So when I asked my brother what he was asking about, and he said, he said that he looked to my brother and he said, "What is Saud? Why he doesn't come and visit?" God knows how much I miss them.
I know. It'll come. I know it doesn't seem like it right now because you've been waiting for so long and it's been such a limbo. But that day will come.
When I go home at night and I put my head to sleep and I think about it, my other option was to go back to Yemen and try it.
Not even to go back to Yemen, because there was no coming from Yemen. To go to Yemen, a place you'd never been. Currently in a civil war, with probably a price on your head.
Exactly, and that was the other option. So for me, I'm very grateful that they at least gave me the opportunity to be safe for now. It would take time, yeah, but you just have to be patient.
Sharing Plate is a What's Where Media production and is presented by Lara Bishop. Thank you for listening.
If you've enjoyed listening to Sharing Plate, please help us out. Like it, follow us, share it, and tell a friend.